Take your Bible this morning and find Galatians chapter 2. Would you do so? Galatians chapter 2, and I want you to find verse 20. Galatians chapter 2, and locate verse 20. And when you found it, we haven't done this week, but let's stand together, okay? Galatians 2 and verse 20, and we're going to stand and memorize this verse. Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:20. If you have a Scofield Bible, it's on page 1,243. If you don't, you're on your own. Galatians 2:20. You all have it? Everybody got it? Since everybody stood, I'm assuming you do, but I hear some pages turning. Galatians 2:20. Listen to what the Bible says. I think most of us know it, but if you don't, you should. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2:20. How many of you have already memorized it? Have you? How many of you already have? Most of you probably should have, but some of you may not have. Let's give the reference and read the verse and give the reference. You can quote it if you want to, but let's do it out loud together. Are you all ready now? I know it's early in the morning, been a long week, but you all ready? All right, now help me out here. Let's give the reference, the verse, and the reference, and let's try to stay together, okay? That'll be powerful if we stay together. Here we go. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2:20. Isn't that a great verse? What a life-changing verse. Can you read it with a little bit of, can you give it some feeling? Can you feel it when you read it? A lot of you were doing it. You were doing pretty good. Nothing wrong, and I know we're Baptists, but we can feel a verse, can't we? And by feeling it, sometimes we just say it, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Take some time and put some feeling to it. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I. So give it a little bit of feeling, all right? Can you do that? I know we'll all may feel it a little differently, but let's try to feel it together, all right? Everybody now, here we go. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2:20. Father, I feel a great need today of your power, your help as I teach on this verse. And Lord, I always approach this verse with some little bit of caution in my own heart because I don't know that I can do justice, Lord, in what you really say in this verse. Lord, it's so powerful and so life-changing and it's so needy in our lives. And so would you open our eyes, O God, to this truth today? Would you give me wisdom as I preach? Would you fill me with your power? Almighty God, would you do your work in our hearts? Lord, there may be a student here today and they've battled with sin and they're so discouraged with it. They get so tired of it. They've never had victory. They need Christ to live in them, O Lord. They need to know what this means and how to appropriate that into their life. And oh, dear God, I know there are students here that long to be soul winners, but they're not. And oh, God, they need your power in their life. And God, there are students here that really struggle with sins of the flesh. They're hard to get along with. They're irritable. They've got a real temper problem. They're careless with their tongue. And oh God, they need you today. So help us to see this verse. Would you fill me with your power? I'm praying about that, Lord. Fill me with your power. Give me wisdom and discernment. I need that, Lord. You know I do. And I'll thank you for what you do in our hearts and our lives today. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now thank you for standing. Let me talk to you this morning about having the power of God in your life. Can I do that? But having the power of God in your life. When I was a college student and studying for the ministry, I remember that there was a weekend when Pastor Wayne Van Gelderen Sr. came to the chapel hour and preached on a Wednesday night, a Thursday, and a Friday morning. And what I remember about that was several things. One was that his wife had just passed away, and so he had just become a widower, and his heart was obviously heavy about the loss of his wife. And yet, I remember this old man whose voice was somewhat weak comparatively and who seemed like the Ancient of Days. He seemed so elderly. And yet, I remember him preaching with God's power in his life. And And I don't remember a lot about his sermon, except that he had the joy of the Lord, even though his wife had just passed away, and he was such a blessing to my own life and to our student body while we were in college that week. And sometime after that, I read one of his sermons that he preached a couple of days before he died. And I didn't read the whole sermon, but someone had copied an illustration from that sermon. And I was reading this, I think it was literally 2 days before he went home to be with the Lord. And he said this statement in his sermon. He said, "You know, when I get to heaven and I feel the touch of Jesus," why, he said, "I'm going to recognize that touch because I felt that hand before." And he said, "When I get to heaven and I hear the voice of Jesus, well, I'm going to recognize that voice. I've heard that voice before." You know what I thought was, students? I thought what he was going to say was, "Well, you know, I was in prayer and I, in a spiritual sense, felt the touch of God." Well, I could have understood that. I thought he was going to say, "You know, I've heard the voice of God speaking to me through his word or through a preacher." That is really where I thought he was going. But it's not where he went at all. And it kind of shocked me. He said, "When I get to heaven and I hear the voice of Jesus, I'm going to recognize that voice because I've heard that voice before in the voice of Spirit-filled believers who cross my path." My soul, that got my attention. When I get to heaven and I feel that touch of my Savior, Jesus Christ, I'm going to recognize that touch. Well, I've felt it before through the lives of Spirit-filled Christians who've touched my life. That piqued something in my heart, and I thought, "Lord, is it really possible to have your power in our life like that? To where our touch is your touch? Our voice is your voice? Is that even possible?" And then I found Galatians 2:20. Because Galatians 2:20 is a strange verse in the sense that Paul begins by saying, "I'm dead." Did y'all catch that or not? "I am crucified with Christ." That's a dead terminology. Would y'all agree with that? Nod your head like this if you agree with that. Crucified is dead, right? So Paul begins by saying, "I am crucified with Christ. I'm dead." But wait. I'm alive. Isn't that what he says? "I'm dead, but I'm alive." And then he says this. Wait. No. I'm actually dead. Isn't that kind of a strange way to begin a testimony here? "I just want y'all to know I'm dead, but, whoa, I'm alive, but really, not really, I'm actually dead." That is how he begins this verse. And I thought, what in the world? "I'm crucified with Christ, I'm dead, but actually I'm alive, but wait a minute, I'm really not alive." And then here's the key to the whole verse. "But Christ liveth in me. And watch this, the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God." Yes, I'm alive, but I'm not really alive, but I am alive. And the reason I'm alive is it's not about me. You know, how many of you would agree that the Apostle Paul was an amazing man of God? Would you all agree with that? What an amazing man of God. But Paul says, that wasn't me. I mean, wouldn't you like to be the kind of Christian that you had victory over every sin in your life? You can if you have the power of God in your life. If Christ is living in you. Wouldn't you like to be the kind of Christian that always responds lovingly, gently, kindly, graciously, sweetly, no matter what? No matter who your roommates are? Come on, don't look at me like that. I had roommates one time. It's the truth, isn't it? Wouldn't you like to always respond lovingly, gently, kindly, sweetly, graciously, no matter who pulls out in front of you? Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you love to be able to respond lovingly, sweetly, kindly, graciously, sweetly, no matter what somebody says to you? You can if you have the power of God in your life. Wouldn't you like to be a soul winner and regularly a part of your life? You just are burdened about souls and you talk to people and regularly see people get saved. You can if you have the power of God in your life. The Lord sent me on a journey a number of years ago, and I knew about the power of God. I'd heard about that, but I didn't know whether or not I had it. Do I have the power of God? Is God accomplishing everything in my life He wants to accomplish? And the Lord brought this little verse into my life in which Paul says here, "I'm dead and yet I live. Yet I am not living, but Christ is living in me and I'm just believing. I live in the flesh by the faith of the Son of God. I'm trusting God to do things in my life I can't do. I'm asking God to work in my life in ways that I can't work." And so it's something about the power of God here. And let me just show you three things here, if I may. Look in the verse and notice that here is consecration. What does God want from our life? Well, he does want consecration. Would you all agree with that? Here's consecration. In other words, this passage is about me and my life. How many of you agree that this passage is about Jesus Christ? Do you agree about that? This is about Jesus Christ, isn't it? I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself. This is a verse, obviously, about Jesus Christ. Are y'all there with me? It's obviously a verse about the Apostle Paul. Do y'all agree with that? Look how many times he's in the verse. Count them. Y'all ready? You ready to count? Y'all ready? There he is. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. How many times you find the Apostle Paul in the verse? So it's about Christ, no doubt about that, but it's also about Paul. But how many of you believe this is the Word of God given to me and you so we can understand God's Word? God's will, God's plan. So it's not only about Christ, it's not only about Paul. Watch this now. It's about you. Here's a verse that is written to help you to know how to have the power of God in your life. And so he says, here's what's something you know about your life. God wants your life to be consecrated. In other words, the idea of consecration is, when it comes to my life and your life, it is you are my God and you can have my life. Isn't that the point of Romans 12? Would you agree with that? How many of you know Romans 12 verse 1? You know that? All right. Now catch a few words. I'll point to you. Say them out loud. Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your... Okay, that wasn't bad. I want you to get it. So emphasize it. All right. Feel it. Okay. Here we go. Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Okay. Now watch this. Watch this. Are you not so glad that that verse does not say, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your great intellect? Does that encourage anybody here besides me? Aren't you glad God's not looking for intellect? Wouldn't that leave out a whole bunch of us? God, aren't you glad God doesn't say this? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your good looks? Does that encourage any of you men? It should. Help me out. It should. Some of you more than others. But it ought to encourage us. The Lord doesn't ask for abilities. Be honest. How many of you are at Ambassador Baptist College and you think God's called you to preach and there's a little bit of fear in your heart because you think, I don't have any abilities. I'm not that talented. I don't know if I can serve the Lord or not because I don't have anything to give him. You ever felt like that? Well, I felt like that. My dad's not a preacher. My mom's not a preacher. I thought, Lord, you sure about this? You know, there's a lot of people that can preach, but you sure you want me to do it? And I'm so thrilled because when I found Romans 12, here's what the Lord says about consecration. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your... You know what I've discovered? Now, I'm a Tennessean, but I got this figured out. Y'all ready for this? Everybody I know has a body. Now, I won't tell you, that'll put you on shouting ground. Because you may not be the most brilliant student that Ambassador Baptist College has ever had. You may not have any abilities. I mean, isn't it amazing how that some people just have ability. They can sing from the platform and it's impressive. And they can preach and they can wow people and they have the voice and they have the looks and they can play the piano and they can play the trumpet and the trombone and they can play the spoons and the forks and they're just so talented and so ability. And somebody says, well, I don't have anything like that. Well, be encouraged today because consecration doesn't begin with talents, abilities, good looks, and intellect. It begins with your body. I learned that on a Sunday night when I was 16 years old. I'd been saved about 6 months. I was in a building smaller than this one on a Sunday night service in a little country church in the mountains of East Tennessee. And the pastor preached that night and he said, you know what God wants from you? He wants your life, your body. And if you'll just give it to the Lord, he'll take it. It's all up to him and what's accomplished in your life. He has to do it anyway. And he will work through you and in you and about you and train you and teach you. But God has to do the work. And what he wants from you is your body. And he said, now you give your body to the Lord tonight and he'll take it and he'll use it. And you'll be amazed at what God will do in your life. And so lightning didn't flash that night and thunder didn't roll, but I was four rows back right here in that empty pew right back there. And when they gave the invitation, I came and I knelt about right where that microphone is right there. And here's what I said to God. I said, now, God, this is all I got. But you can have it. This is all I got. Lord, I don't know who I'm going to marry. I don't know where I'm going to go to college. I don't know what I'm going to do with my life. I don't know I don't know much about the future at all. But your word says you want my body, and here it is. You can have it. Now, I want to tell you, I got done that night, went back to my seat. And in my heart that night, I knew something that I'd not known before. I knew God wanted me to preach. I knew it. I mean, I didn't hear an audible voice. Brother Corns, pastor, says, does God speak audibly? And his answer is no. He speaks a lot louder than that. And I never understood that, except for a few times after comfort in my life, that the Lord has talked to me. And it wasn't audibly, but I heard the voice of God, and I knew God wanted me to preach. And I went back to my seat that night, and when I did, my pastor did something I had never seen him do before. He left the platform. Music still playing. He came down the steps. He came back to where I was, and he said, young man, what'd you pray about tonight? And I said, pastor, I said, tonight I gave my body to the Lord. And I said, I don't know this for sure, I said, but I really feel like, I mean, I was scared to death. I said, I really feel like God wants me to preach. I think God is telling me he wants me to preach. And I'm only 16. I'm a junior in a public school, and I've only been saved a few months, but I really believe God wants me to preach. And what I remember is this. The pastor said, oh, son, he said, that's wonderful. And he went like this, and he said, I tell you what. He said, there's only one way to know whether or not you're called to preach. And he said, that's to do it. So he said, next Sunday night, you can preach your first sermon. Then he turned around, went up on the platform, and told the crowd that. He said, now, Brother Young's here tonight. He's only been saved a few months. He's 16 years old. He gave his life to the Lord tonight, his body to the Lord. And he thinks God may be calling to preach. And he said, so y'all come back next Sunday night. He said, we'll find out. I remember this kid preacher, a junior in a public high school, thinking to myself, that man's insane. What in the world? Our little church on Sunday morning ran 60 people. You know how many people showed up next Sunday night? 120 people came to that service. I was so scared. I'm telling you, I was so scared. And I got up and I preached for 21 minutes and sat down. Now, if my sister were here, what she would say about that is, yeah, he preached 21 minutes, but he's not preached 21 minutes ever since then either. And she always says I'm long-winded. I don't know where she got that at. But see, here's the point I'm trying to make for you. Watch this. God's interested in your body too. Lord, this is all I have, but you can have it. Now, consecration goes even beyond my body. It's the things in my life that God wants. Now watch Romans 12, because what he says in verse 2 is this, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and a perfect will of God. See, I consecrated my body to the Lord, but sometime after that, God wanted this area of my life. He wanted that area of my life. He wanted this area of my life. Things I did not even know that God wanted, God began to take. You know what you're going to find out if you'll open your life to the Lord here at Ambassador Baptist College? Every time you come to chapel, many times when you're in class, God will put a finger on some new area of your life, something you haven't thought about yet, and say, what about that right there? What about this right here? What about that right there? What about this right here? How about this little area of your life? You know that little bitterness? You know that little resentment? You know this little music you've been hanging on to? What about that right there? What about, and you know, consecration is something that just goes the rest of our lives. It started for me on a Sunday night. God, this is my body, but you can have it. And then every step of my life, I come and I hear preaching, and God says, all right, what about this? I was in one service not long ago, and I was just convinced that the Holy Spirit of God was convicting me and my wife about just unplugging the TV forever. Do you know the Bible doesn't say thou shalt not as having us a televisionist? Does it? So would it be wrong? I mean, it might not be the best for me to get up and say, you're a wicked low-down sinner if you want a television. So it may not be wrong to have one. Now, it'd be wrong to watch a lot of stuff that's on it. You'd agree with that, wouldn't you? But it wouldn't necessarily be wrong to have one. And so we could have said, well, you know, Lord, we'll just be careful about ours. We'll just turn it off more than we do. But no, that's not what the Lord said. The Lord asked me for an area of our family, and we didn't even watch it that much. But we did have it, and we had it plugged in, and we'd watch it occasionally. And the Lord seemed to be saying to me, I want that area of your life. You've been praying to me about your children loving me and serving me with all of their heart, and you're not helping them to do it by occasionally turning on the TV. And I want it all. I want you to turn it off, and I want you to be done with it forever. And so, I consecrated that to the Lord. See, this is a text about life. What does God want from our life? He wants our body, and He wants the things of our life. See, the Lord may speak to you about music. He may speak to you about bitterness. He may speak to you about resentment. He may speak to you about some situation. He may speak to you about some boyfriend or girlfriend that He's wanting you to consecrate to Him. I'll tell you something, young people. Nobody who's saved and on their way to heaven should ever be involved in a relationship when parents are unhappy. I want you to hear that. I want you to hear that. How do you know who to marry? Oh, because God writes you a postcard and puts it in your mailbox? There's several ways to know who to marry. And one is when you have absolute purity in your life. That's a first step. Absolute purity. I mean, go overboard. Don't let any area of impurity stay in your life, get in your life, come into your life. You got to be pure. 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 But then you need your parents' help. God works through authority. Do y'all believe that or not? Help me out. Do you? So never be afraid. You know, never be afraid to go to your mom and dad and say, hey, I think I like this girl. What do you think? Because I will tell you something about moms and dads, especially moms and dads that are spirit-filled and love the Lord. They will know things and see things that you don't yet know and can't yet see. And so see, God may want an area of your life. You may think, well, there's nothing wrong with that girl. There's nothing wrong with that guy. You know, I like them and I think it's okay and I don't see what everybody's bothered about. But the fact of the matter is, there's a God in heaven trying to work through authority in your life to help you because there's something going on that you can't see because God knows the future and you don't yet, and God's asking for that area of your life. This is about a life. Are y'all with me or not? It's about consecration. Now watch this. If I'm going to have the power of God in my life, it involves consecration. But here's something else. It involves communion. Now this is an amazing text. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Notice there's a relationship here between Paul and Christ. And Paul is living and Christ is living in Paul. There's a very close relationship here between Paul and between Christ. And it's what God wants there to be in your life if you're going to have the power of God in your life. A closeness. A communion. Now, how many of y'all are married? Raise your hand good and high if you're married. All right, now, if you're married, and even if you're not married, I think you can see this. Have you ever, you folks that are married, isn't it a wonderful thing when you and your spouse are in close communion? Isn't that a wonderful thing? It's a wonderful. How many of you have ever seen a couple? You've ever either said this, heard this, or seen this. You know, that couple have been married so long, they look alike. How many of you ever heard that, said that, or thought that? Isn't that a strange thing? Here's a couple that's been married so long, they look like each other. I'll tell you something. Girls, you better be careful who you marry. You're going to look like him someday. Now, that'll help your prayer life right there, won't it? And that's the truth. But you know, why do we say that? They don't look alike. What happens there? And one day at Donovan, here's what happens. When a couple are married, often they mirror each other. So if he's happy and she's happy, they look alike because they're both happy. And if he's miserable and she... You ever seen a couple and both of them are grouchy? Well, there's a happy, blessed marriage. I saw a bumper sticker one time. Went to a mall. My wife loves to shop. My truck gets 5 miles to the gallon. And I pulled into a shopping center one day, my family, and pulled in behind this car. And this car had a bumper sticker in the windshield, the back windshield. I pulled in behind the car, and the bumper sticker said, "All men are idiots, and I married their king." And I thought, well, I'd sure like to know her. Bet she's a happy woman to be around, isn't she? Bet they have a great marriage, don't they? Wouldn't you like to see them? I bet they look like each other. I bet she's mad and he's mad and they hate each other's guts and fight like cats and dogs. Isn't that a great way to live? See, God has a better plan for a marriage. When you've been married for a long time and the closer you get to each other, there comes a time in a marriage when you finish each other's sentences. Your parents ever do that? When you say the same thing out loud at the same time. My wife and I do that all the time. Brother Corn is newlywed, and so he traveled with us 2 years single, and so he's over at our trailer all the time because he was lonely, poor little man, and we felt sorry for him, you know, he's by himself. So he'd come to our trailer all the time, and we'd just talk. We'd sit up many, many nights, way up into the night talking, And we talked about everything. We talked about the Lord and the Bible and the will of God and the power of God. We talked about many things. And sometimes we just talk about nothing. We're just, you know, sitting around fellowshipping. And Brother Dave would say something, and my wife and I would respond to it by saying the same words out loud in the same inflections at the same time. We call that communion. When I say, wow, and my wife says, wow, we'll both look at each other and go, ooh. Because we're in communion. Are y'all with me? Now watch this, watch this. Here's what God wants from our life. God wants us to come to the place in our life, I'm going to say this softly, that we finish his sentences. This holy ground, that we think his thoughts. That we are so close to him that his life is lived through us. That my voice is his voice, that my hands are his hands. Is that not what he's saying here? I'm crucified. This is not me, friends. This is not me. If I'm ever going to have the power of God in my life and God's going to do things through my life that only he can do, it's got to be him. I've got to be so close to the Lord. I've got to get to know him in such a way that he and I are so close that I know his mind, that I know his heart, that I have his mind, that I have his heart, that I accomplish his will, that he's at work. Listen, closeness, that's walking with God. That is about me and Christ together. It is about living Christ in me. It's about the truth of this passage that it's no longer me, but it is me, but it's not me. It's Christ living in me. And this life that I'm living, I live it by faith as I depend on the Lord and get to know the Lord, and God begins working in my life, and I respond the way he responds, and I have his power to give me victory in my life. Everybody here ought to have the power of God in their life. How do you get to know him like that? Through his word. That's why you ought to be in his word every day. Love preaching, love preaching, love preaching. I don't care who's preaching in chapel. They may be a redneck southerner and they don't know the King's English, but love it anyway. They may be a high class, highbrow Yankee. I knew I'd get some amens there. But love it, love it. Some guys preach more solemnly and quietly and stand still behind the pulpit like Dr. Comfort. We're all different, aren't we? Y'all with me? Love preaching. See, because it's through the word that I get close to God. Work on your prayer life. Make sure you kneel. Spend time with your Lord. You can pray while you're walking to class. You should. You can pray while you're walking to chapel. You can pray while you're driving to work. But make sure there's some times in your life when you just get on your knees and get to know him. That's communion. You get so close to him that he's able to live through you. A lot of you work in jobs here in the community. People down on your job need to see Jesus. How are they going to see him? Through you. You ought to be so close that when you open your mouth, they hear the voice of Jesus. You ought to be so close to our Savior that when you touch their lives, they feel the touch of Jesus Christ. That's what Paul's saying here. That's communion. It's through our pursuit of purity. It's through our time with him. So here's consecration. Y'all with me on that one? That's part of this verse. Here is communion. That is part of this verse. Now watch this. Here is a complete and continual reliance on him. I use two words there. It's a complete reliance on him. It's, Lord, I can't. I don't have the ability. I don't have the talents. There's nothing I can do. It's a complete reliance on him, and it's also a continual. Lord, every day, you'll never come to the place in your life to where you finally got it all together and you can just do it in your power. You'll never come to that place in your life. You never will. Maybe there'll come a day that you'll earn a doctorate from some great seminary and you'll memorize the whole Bible, but there'll never be a day in your life that you'll have the ability to serve God in your own strength. If you don't have the power of God in your life, you'll never amount to anything. You'll never have victory. You'll never have God's power in your life. Here's what Paul is saying. I can't, but my Savior, you can. I can't have victory over this sin. How many of you have ever struggled with a sin that you feel like you almost never have victory over? Now, it's okay. Nobody here but us. Has that ever happened in your life? Let me see your head. Okay, here's the key to having power of God in your life. Lord, you can have this. I'm consecrating it to you. And I'm going to walk with you and get so close to you that you are so at work in my life that I can rely on your strength and not mine. I was in Las Vegas, Nevada a number of years ago, and I was preaching. And the church had a prayer meeting downtown Las Vegas for the men at a restaurant in a banquet room. They asked me if I'd come and preach a message to their men and then lead in the prayer meeting for the revival week. They gave me a truck to drive, and so Saturday morning I got up, put my tie on, and got my Bible and my notes and got in the truck, and I left the parking lot of the church and drove down to a highway, Blue Diamond Highway, and turned left and went down and picked up I-15, turned left and went up to Tropicana Boulevard. I took a right-hand exit onto Tropicana Boulevard, turned right, and there I was at the Las Vegas Strip. The restaurant is behind the casino that was right here on the corner. I just had to go probably 400 feet, and there was the restaurant where I was going to lead in prayer. We were going to have a service. I'm sitting at this traffic light, and all of a sudden, as I came to a stop at that traffic light, it turned red. Right in front of me, probably 40 feet high and 25 feet wide, was a billboard that was incredibly inappropriate. It was wicked. I wasn't on the internet flipping through some web pages to see garbage. I was with my Bible in hand and my tie on driving to a prayer meeting. And all of a sudden, there's a garbage billboard right in front of me. You know what I could have done? All right. I'm going to do right. I'm not going to look at that. I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm telling you, I'm going to do it. But I learned from Galatians 2:20, that's not the key to victory. And so I said to my Savior, the blessed Holy Spirit, my Heavenly Father, I said, oh God, I need your purity. You with me? I need your purity. God, if you don't help me, I'll look at that and think something I shouldn't think. I need your purity. And instantly the Holy Spirit of God filled me. And the Holy Spirit seemed to prompt me to reach up there and push down that sin visor. Yeah, I said that right. I flipped that sin visor down. I couldn't see most of that billboard. Woo, isn't the Lord good? I just put that down. And I drove through that traffic light when it turned green with purity in my heart, with the power of God in my life. I didn't have to think about that. That didn't dwell in my mind. I'm telling you, I was clean. I was pure. But it wasn't because, oh, I know. It's Evangelist David Young, a man of God. Of course he didn't look at that. No, I want to tell you, I'm as wicked as anybody else apart from Almighty God. I could ruin my life as certainly as anybody else, but Christ lives in me. And when by faith I completely relied on Him and I looked to Him for His power and His strength and His purity and His ability. Let me listen to me. I had the power of God in my life and I drove to that prayer meeting with God's power and God's victory and His blessings in my life. You see how simple that is? It's not your strength. It's not you trying harder. It's not you working harder. It's not you just determining, I really mean it this time. I prayed about this, and this time I really mean it. Maybe it's time you get on your knees and say, God, you know I'm an absolute failure, and you know I'm going to ruin my life, and I'm tired of this. Oh, God, I want your power. I want your purity. I want your presence. I want your help in my life. That's what Paul's talking about right here. A complete reliance on Him will put the power of God in you. It's going to put you on shouting ground in your heart. I know I'm not doing it justice. I can't do it justice. God has to teach you this. But here's a little verse that's trying to help us to have God's power in our life as college students. See, it's a matter of saying, Lord, I need victory, so I need your help. Have you ever read the fruits of the Spirit? Love and joy and peace and gentleness and long-suffering and meekness and temperance. And felt like, man, I don't have any of those. You ever read that? How many of you are known because you're so loving and sweet and gentle and you always have the joy of the Lord, and you never complain, you never fuss, you never bite somebody's head off. There are very few people like that, but that's how God's people ought to be. How do you have that? Through the power of God in your life. You can do it. You can do it. Now, some people by nature are easier to get along with than others, aren't they? Well, come on, is that true or not? Isn't there some people that are nicer than others? Some people just seem to be especially gifted to be mean, don't they? How many of you have a roommate like that? No, don't answer that. Now think about that. You see, how do you have this kind of life to where your life is known as love and joy and peace and gentleness and goodness and meekness and temperance and you have self-control and you're patient and God's joy? How does this happen in our lives? Oh, because we try harder, and now that we're seniors, we're really going to do it. That is not what Galatians 2:20 says. I live this kind of life when I, by faith, allow Jesus Christ to live in me and accomplish His will in my life and His power in my life and His presence in my life. He does the work in my life that I cannot do. Is this making sense? It's Galatians 2:20. How do you have the power of soul winning in your life to win people to Christ? How do you have maturity in your life to be everything God wants you to be? It's when you rely on Christ. What is it in your life that you try so hard to accomplish and keep failing? Some of you don't like your attitude. You don't like it. You get so bothered about things and so bent out of shape about things, and you wish you weren't that way. And you know what, dear friend? You are that way. And the only way you're going to have victory over it is if you let Jesus Christ live in you in the power of the Holy Spirit. Some of you wish you were soul winners, and you want to be soul winners, and you're trying so hard to be a soul winner, and yet you keep beating your head against the wall, and you never see anybody saved, and it's come to a duty, and you go because you feel like you should, because after all, you are preacher boy at Ambassador Baptist College, but you really hate it down in your heart. What you need is the power of God in your life and Jesus to live through you and in you. Teenagers, it's available. And how do you get it? By faith. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. He's available. How many of you believe we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit when we get saved? You all believe that? All right, it's high time that you let Jesus Christ live in you. Let Him take over. Let Him empower you. Let Him give you joy. Let Him give you peace. Let Him help you to have victory over that sin that you've beat your head against the wall about, and you don't have victory, and you wish you had victory, and you're so sick of that. Listen, it's a continual thing. You might get victory today, but tomorrow you're going to have to depend on Christ again. It's a continual power. It's a continual, it's a daily thing of me letting the Lord work in my life. Do you know what the Bible says? I read this in my Bible in Galatians chapter 5. If we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. When I'm walking in the Spirit, I will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I read that one then and said to myself, Lord, I'm so sick of fulfilling the lust of my flesh. And whatever it means to walk in the Spirit, that's what I need and it's what I want and it's what I'm going to give my life to because I want to have absolute victory and purity and power and your blessing in my life. Am I making sense this morning or not? Are you all with me? I was reading my devotions this morning and I close in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, if you want to turn there, you can. I was reading in my devotions this morning about Jehoshaphat. And Judah is invaded by Moab in verses 1 and 2, which I thought about this. I thought, man, there is a battle going on in our lives. And there, Satan wants to destroy us. He knows our weakness. Doesn't Satan know your weakness? By the way, your weakness is not necessarily unique to you, though it may be. Chances are the thing you're struggling with, there's other people here in the school struggle with the same thing. One of Satan's lies is you're the only one battling this. If you were just like, you know, brother so-and-so who's an upperclassman, or if you were like brother so-and-so who's so talented, you wouldn't have this problem. But you know what? All of us can have any problem apart from Almighty God working in our life. So there's a battle going on. Y'all see that in verses 1 and 2? I'm not going to read it, but here it is in verses 1 and 2. And I love verse 3. Jehoshaphat feared the Lord and set himself to seek the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah. Notice, man, he cried out to the Lord. He sought the Lord. He fasted. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help. I love that word. Circle that word. To ask help of the Lord. Lord, I can't. I'm not a soul winner. I don't have victory. And I need help. And you get down into verse 7, and I love, actually in verse 6, and Jehoshaphat said, Oh, Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen, and in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not that thou our God? What's he saying? God, I can't win this victory. I can't win this, and I don't have the ability, and I can't do it, and I don't know what to do, but you're my God, and you have power. And I love verse 12. Oh God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Woo, I love that phrase. I love that phrase. I've gone to the Lord many times since I've learned about the power of God and said, Oh God, I can't. Oh God, I can't. I have no power. I have no might. But my eyes are on thee. My eyes are on thee. Lord, all I can do is look to you, and if you don't help me, I'm going to fail. If you don't help me, I'm going to ruin my testimony. If you don't help me, I'm going to make a mess of my life. I don't have any might. I don't have any power. Lord, I can't. I can't. I can't do it. But my eyes are on thee, Lord. I'm looking unto you, Lord. I'm putting my eyes on you. By faith, I'm turning to you. God, if you don't accomplish your will in my life, it can't be done. I remember a night at the Bill Rice Ranch in Murfreesboro, Tennessee in 1990. On a Monday night when there was no invitation giving, I was sitting at a door up front to keep people from going in and out and disturbing that service. And an evangelist preached that night. And I remember God that night, I knew, wanted me to be an evangelist. And I turned around and got on my knees by that little chair there where I was seated. And at the close of that service, people were running around and going their various places. And that night I got on my knees and I said, Oh God, my daddy's not a preacher. And I don't know that anybody will ever have me preach for them. You know, I'm just a country boy from the hills of Tennessee. And Lord, my parents are country people, and Lord, I don't know a lot, and there's no way I can be a Bill Rice or Ron Comfort. I prayed that. I said, Lord, I can't do that. but my eyes are on you. Lord, all I'm doing is looking to you. And if all you want me to do is be a backwoods preacher somewhere and just preach in small little churches, I'll do that. If you want me to go to some mission field and preach the gospel in places that have never heard it, I'll do that. Lord, whatever you want, but my eye, I cannot, but you can. Are y'all with me this morning? This is where Jehoshaphat is. He's here. He says, Lord, my eyes are on you. And then I love verse 14. Then upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord. God's power is now poured out. And I love verse 17. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Now watch what he says right here. You don't have to do anything but get up and go march against them. Notice it's not me just sitting back and going, all right, Lord, you take over, and I sure hope you know what you're doing. No, the Lord works through our lives. You've got to go to class. You've got to memorize that Greek. You've got to study those notes. You've got to memorize those verses. You've got to get on your knees and pray. You've got to read your Bible. But it's Almighty God that takes over and accomplishes His will in your life in a way that you can't do it on your own. Are you seeing this? I'm telling you, college students, this truth changed my life. Because I realized no longer do I have to have all the ability and the talents and be Mr. Big Shot. Because I don't have anything. But oh God, my eyes are on you. And I need victory in this area of my life. And I need to be a better husband right there in my life. And I need to be a better daddy right there. God, I so want to be a soul winner. And I fail so miserably. And I see people and walk away and never even think to give them a track. And I'm so tired of that. My eyes are on you, Lord. You take over. You live through me. You be my hands and my feet and my voice. I want to be that close to you. Am I making any sense at all? Oh, the Lord gave him a great victory. Oh, my Lord, how he moved and how the Lord came down and how it was a great victory. I don't have time to read it all, but you ought to read it today. It'll put you on shouting ground. Oh, my goodness. All they had to do was to look to the Lord. And here's what I want to say to you today, college students. You need the power of God in your life. Some of you preacher boys are so talented, it's disgusting. You just have all the abilities in the world. But I want to tell you, apart from the power of God in your life, you'll never be anything for God. Some of you girls, you have so much ability and you got all kinds of, you have wonderful parents, you got all the background in the world. But if you keep on trying to do it in yourself, you'll never accomplish anything for our God. But if Ambassador Baptist College students will allow the power of God to fill them and allow Jesus Christ to live in them and allow the Holy Spirit to accomplish His will, it'll be amazing what God can do in our lives. Have I made sense today? Would you bow your head and close your eyes, but not lean forward? Try not to lean forward. That'll help you. But bow your head and close your eyes. How many college students in this room? How many college students in this room would say, Brother Young, I know Galatians 2:20, but the Lord sure has opened my eyes to the truth of it today. Let me see your hand. Let me see your hand like that. How many would say, the Lord not only opened my eyes to it, Brother Young, but you know, there's a sin I battle with, and I'm so discouraged by it sometimes. I'm so defeated by it. And I realize that my error is I've been trying so hard to have victory, and I need the power of God. I need to look unto Jesus. I need to put my eyes on Him. I don't have the strength. I don't have the ability, but I want victory, and I need His power in my life to help me defeat this sin in my life. How many of you are like that today? I want to see it. How many of you are like that? God bless you, students. God bless you. How many of you say, you know, Brother Young, I don't feel like I can serve the Lord. I don't have much ability. I don't have much talent. I don't have any money. I don't have a great background necessarily. But, oh, Brother Young, my eyes are on the Lord. I see that today. I need His strength. I need His power. I need His ability. Brother Young, God's speaking to me about that. And I'm thrilled about it. And I want it more than anything in the world. Would you raise your head good and high? Would you raise it good and high? God bless you, students. God bless you this morning. How many of you say, Brother Young, in my spirit, in the fruits of the Spirit, love and joy and peace and gentleness and goodness and meekness, being sweet spirit and loving and gentle and kind. Oh, Brother Young, I want to be known like that. I want to have that kind of Christianity. I want to be that kind of a godly person on my job and in my church and in my residence hall room. And I know I can't do it on my own, but I see that I need Jesus Christ living in me. How many of you are like that this morning? Let me see it. And God bless all of you. Now look at me, would you? We're going to play the instruments in a moment. Ladies will choose our hymn this morning, and we're gonna play the instruments. And I don't think we could close a chapel like this without praying about that, could we? We ought to get on our knees. We ought to do it. And I'm gonna ask you to do something, ladies. If you raise your hand, if it's possible for you to do so, why don't you? Now we won't take long to do this, but if it's possible for you, ladies, to do so, Why don't you pray with somebody else about this, and the two of you pour your heart out together? Pray for each other. Don't take a long time to do it. We need to get to class. But get on your knees this morning and pray together. Just girls with girls. You boys, if there's someone you can't, there may not. Maybe you need to pray alone. Maybe there's something in your heart that you don't want to pray with anybody else. You need to pray to God about it on your own. That'll be all right. But if you can't, pray together today. Get on your knees together and say, Lord, I don't understand all this, but I want it more than anything in the world. I want victory. I want Christ in me. And spend a few moments uniting our hearts together. Doesn't the Bible say we're two or three on earth gather together and pray in His name that He'll hear us? Doesn't the Bible indicate that? Isn't there a point there? Let's pray together and then let's go to class. All right, stand to your feet. And the ladies are playing. You don't need to bow your head. Just stand to your feet. The ladies are going to start playing and you find a place to pray. And then we'll close this chapter.